I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Well, I was just going to say, I love the fact that I appear to have emerged from this completely unscathed. I don't know what it is that I've said that makes it sound as if it was you that had the only bee in your bonnet, but I really let rip a few episodes back, but no one's come for me.
So no.
I think you've just got one of those faces.
I have a bit, like when I was in school, it was all, I always got told off for being noisy or whatever. And I was like, it wasn't me. It was Reese Phillips.
Fucking Reese.
It was always Reese Phillips in math. And Mr. Owen always used to tell me off. And I remember actually him telling somebody else off once. And then if you're listening, actually, Mr. Owen, I'm really sorry. I'm going to say it. Fuck off. He was horrible to me. And I remember him shouting at someone else once and then turning around and he was shouting at her and he was like, you really need to stop growing up. You got your GCSE in this, however long it is, like you need to pull your socks up, blah, blah, blah. And then he turned around and he went, and you. I was like, not even involved in whatever was just going on there. But okay. Yeah, he did. He did really upset me. And we did used to call him Mr. B. Owen for a long time because he wasn't very nice. So, and he was a bit stinky.
Welcome to episode 180 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. We start, and continue for some time, on the NRS. The National Running Show was this weekend just gone, and it was a total blast. We're still getting over it. But there is much to discuss, from the famous people who met us on the stand, to the gorgeous pod squatters who replenished us with hugs and snacks. We loved meeting you all. One thing we talked about a lot at the show with you all was races. So we talk about the suggestions here, and there are some great ideas for all of us. We also catch up about the New York Half Marathon we're running on the 26th of April. We've got some exciting extra things to add to the package that we've worked out with Sports Tours for those of you coming. More on this in coming weeks. For everyone not coming, we're going to be starting a half marathon training block from the 2nd of February. More details here. Do think about subscribing to Women's Running right now, because you'll save 50% off the cover price and you'll get a copy of our How to Run 5K guide absolutely free. If you don't need it because you're scampering over mountains, it'll make a friend very happy indeed. Go to womensrunning.co.uk/bundle to get the deal.
Okay.
Okay. Morning.
Morning. And oh my goodness. First of all, hello. I mean, let's watch our stats on Acast stay exactly the same after saying this. But hello to anybody who's listening for the first time as a result of saying hello at the National Running Show.
Because
that's what we've just come back from. And I mean, it was absolutely incredible for me until lunchtime on the Sunday. How did you find it?
we're gonna return to that, aren't we? Yeah, I, oh my God, it was, I think overwhelming is probably the first word that springs to mind in all the ways. I think it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. It was, I think I'd kind of forgotten from last year what it can be like. And I think we had put so much effort into it this year, much more than we had done last year, that I was focused on the things that we were doing rather than the things that just sort of naturally happen. And, it was incredible. It was incredible. It was. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, for any of you who've not been, it's like mini Glasgow for runners or something, isn't it? Like,
that's what
maybe
I was
a bit
say.
Less booze. Yeah. But
yeah, a little bit during the daytime at least. But yeah, it is. I mean, I guess in the way that it is like Glasgow, it is the fact that it's so all encompassing of the kinds of runners that you get there. Like you could be talking to two separate people within seconds, and one of them has done, as I discovered, one of them's done a half marathon every day for the last 300 days, and the one next to you is training for their first 10K. Kind of that sort of balance is just incredible.
It's so lush, isn't it? And I do think that's a very good point, Esther. And I think if you are somebody who is worried about, you know, you're a runner, but maybe you're a shy runner, which we've all been, because you don't want to sort of put yourself next to somebody who you think might be better than you, or make yourself, you might not necessarily feel like you're part of the community because you don't think you're fast enough, or you've run long distances enough, or you run enough. It just does go to show that is all total bollocks, because everybody there, I mean, I spoke to a woman who was like, I haven't run for a year. Like, I've lost my mojo, but here I am still, you know, wanting to get inspiration from other runners. And everybody there is very, it's such a mixed bag. Actually, our lovely Cara, who you can hear on our other Office Chair to 5K episode, and you may have met if you were there this weekend, she did say that because it was her first time, and she was like, oh, I'm a bit worried that everybody's going to be a bit runny.
Yeah.
And then she was like, no, everyone's super chill. It's all lots of brownies floating around, lots of sweets, like lots of people, you know. It's such a mix, and everybody's very down to earth, and it is just a nice vibe, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's what I was trying to sort of explain that to Dave when I left, because I think he sort of assumes it's going to be sort of Steve Cram and Joe Pavey on a racetrack, and it's just everyone in short shorts talking about kind of quads and things. And it was like, no, it's so far removed from that. If you want to see Steve Cram and Joe Pavey, you can do that. But
yeah, if you want to wear your short shorts, if you want to talk about quads, it's all happening, but
it's all there.
If you want to face plant on a travelator or eat a brownie the size of your head, or it is also just lovely and friendly, and yeah, it's just a lovely vibe. It made me feel
and
very
loads of families
about the running
as well
community.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely. And I reckon there were quite a few people I was talking to who, just like your person that you were speaking to, they were injured or they were sort of returning. And those people, I think, kind of knew, like they'd been the year before and they realised how inclusive it is as a place. And how it just is kind of, it's slightly life-affirming, and it's slightly kind of, it makes you realise that you have chosen the right hobby, actually, because you are surrounded by people who love it too, and everyone's different, but everyone's supporting each other, whether you're kind of trying to find like a different kind of specialist gel to kind of make sure that you can get under 2.5 hours at your next marathon or whatever, or if you're just like massively fangirling Mo Farah and want a new pair of kicks. I mean, it's just lovely. It was so nice. And we spoke to so many nice people.
Oh my gosh, we did. Well, I'm going to address the elephant in the room with that, in that you may have noticed if you turned up on the Sunday that I sacked things off at about 2 o'clock. I'm so sorry if there were people who did want to come and say hello that didn't get a chance to, because I had ditched the whole thing.
But I had a bit of a wobble on the Sunday. I'd had a really anxious night on Saturday. And so I hadn't had very much sleep. And then I think I just had like a sort of, I don't know what it was, whether it was like an adrenaline dump or whether it was the fact that I had been a little bit under the weather, hadn't I, before we'd left. And I think I'd sort of, I thought that I'd managed to get over it. And I was like, phew, we're fine for the NRS. It's all going to be okay. But I think I had actually just slightly sort of quashed it down with and relied on adrenaline in order to kind of get through. And then after we'd done our last talk on the Sunday, I went back to the stand and was able to be a little bit human again. And I had a horrid migraine and I felt like I was going to shit my pants, which I managed to avoid doing. But oh my God, I came close. Things are still hairy.
So I was hard to talk to people, but I was genuinely very, very, very worried that I was going to embarrass myself either from, you know, shitting myself in front of you or just not be on top form and not really be able to say hello. But even in my sort of wobble that I had afterwards, there were some lovely pod squadders who said hello or just shouted, love you, even though I was crying or whatever at me. God. And then I did see that a lovely, lovely woman when I was really at the end of my tether. And I was like, oh God. First of all, I had a bloke on. So I got on a train. I called Esther and I was like, I'm so sorry. Love you so much, but I can't do the last couple of hours. And I can't, most importantly, I was worried about the fact that I couldn't help you pack the stand up because lots of people had left by then. But I was like, oh God, she's got to pack that stand up with Cara on her own. But Esther was like, fine, fine, fine. And then I hopped on my little train and there was a bloke on there. You know, when you get immediate bad vibes from a train person.
Oh no.
Yeah, he was playing Sophia Spexter, Murder on the Dance Floor out loud on his phone. And
oh, I hate that. I mean, not the song.
Yeah,
but,
no,
oh my God.
I mean, adore Sophia Spexter, but
yeah.
And he had about six empty tinnies next to him. And I was like, oh no. And he was going, excuse me, to people who were just like ignoring him.
And
I was really close to him. So I was like, oh God, I'm not going to be able to avoid this. And then he turned around and he went, hiya. And he's like, do you like Birmingham? And you'll be so proud of me and my people pleasing. I went, please don't talk to me. I'm not in the mood.
Oh my God, Holly, well done.
I know.
What did he do? What did he do?
He went, you know what? I respect that. At least you're polite about it. And then he carried on going, it's Murder on the Dance Floor. And then I moved carriages because I was like, well done, Holz, you were really brave. But also I was like, still on the verge of like, am I going to be sick? Is something horrible going to happen to my body? So I was like, let's get out away from him, get a bit more privacy. And then I actually bumped into a lovely pod squadder called Suzanne who said, are you all right? And hello. And I listened and we had a little chat together and she was really, really sweet. Yeah.
Oh, Holly.
Yeah, I felt grim.
Yeah, yeah, and you didn't look right. And I, like in retrospect, I just wish we'd been a bit kinder to you because I mean, not that we were hitting you over the head with a stick or anything.
That's what they do in this team behind everyone's backs, behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's all a bit corporal punishment. But we, like you were not great in the morning, and I just thought. And you'd sort of said about it, and I thought, oh, you know, there's all these things that have led up to the night before. We'd done a talk, we'd had a full day, we'd had some booze, obviously, we'd had a mega pizza, we'd been chatting, so many sweets as well.
I thought I'm having a sugar crash. Was my first thought. Yeah,
but we had been on it all day for 24 hours. We'd been talking and talking and talking and talking, and. And the following on that Sunday morning, when I woke up from that, you were already talking about how you'd had a bad night's sleep, which isn't really like you.
No, I normally am out like a light, and maybe every few months I get an anxious night, which stops, well, anxiety actually stops me from sleeping. And I'd had one of those, and Esther and I were sharing a room, and actually I'm very, very used to sharing a room with you now. Like, we're pretty chill. We sit with our little books, and then we have a little snooze, and we're very comfortable sleeping in each other's company. But I just had a random, actually probably not random when you think about it, we'd had a mental stressful day. It was so much over excitement. Like, I just was so excited to meet everybody, and we'd had so much fun, and we'd had a lot of adrenaline, and we'd eaten sweets, drunk Prosecco, eaten a huge pizza, blah, blah, blah. So not random, probably, that I was having some of the physical anxiety symptoms where I was having like racing heart and stuff. But I just got in a loop that I haven't had for like ages, where I was just like having a panic attack and then talking myself down, and then going through into another thought spiral where like it would build up again and up again, and then I'd have to talk myself down. And it was like round and round. And every time I sort of felt myself starting to drift off, it was almost like my body had like created an association with drifting off being bad then, because I would start to, and then it would be like, no, wait, remember all the awful things, and remember the horrors. and it was just endless. And so I didn't sleep well, and I couldn't even sleep in the morning. That's when I'm really anxious. That sucks, because not only do I have a bad night, but then also I wake up and it's like, I've seen it described in a meme before, where it's like, it's the first Harry Potter film where he wakes up after, I don't know, whatever's happened to him. He's like had a run in with the Philosopher's Stone or whatever. And then he's in the bed, and then he wakes up and Dumbledore's just like sitting at the end of the bed, like, hello. Ugh. And that's what it feels like. You wake up and it's like, oh, lush. The morning, the day. And then there he fucking is right at the end of the bed. Little twat. That's how it feels. And then that doesn't allow me to go back to sleep, however tired I am. So annoying.
So it feels like Gambon. Gambon on your toes.
It's Gambon at the end of the bed. Or in fact, I think
Richard Harris.
Richard Harris. Yeah, it's Richard Harris at the end of the bed.
Either way, very disconcerting. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you don't want to wake up to Richard Harris staring you down.
Oh. Definitely not Richard Harris. Not these days, no. That would be very weird. Oh, no, actually, even Gambon.
Yeah, both. It would be incredibly supernatural. Oh, but yeah, I am so sorry. And Esther keeps telling me off for saying sorry, because you can't help it, can you, if you're feeling poorly? No. But it was really bad timing. And I also would like to apologize, because I do still think that it was probably an adrenaline thing and I hadn't been hugely well anyway, blah, blah, blah. But I have genuinely had a really not very pleasant stomach for the last 2 days that's still kind of going on. So if I did give everybody that I gave huge cuddles and slobbery kisses to all day Saturday and all of Sunday morning stomach flu, then I can only apologize.
That's a nice little addition to the pod squad, isn't it?
I can't now
with hindsight and seeing how rough you looked and speaking to you and knowing how awful it was for all of Sunday, I can't begin to imagine how you managed to do that talk on Sunday morning, because
I talked before about that time where I was so drunk for my niece, not drunk, sorry, incredibly hungover for my niece's first birthday party, and I felt like I was on fire inside, and I was literally being sick into a bucket on the M25 on the way for it. And then as soon as I got in the room and Tony was like, hello, do you ski? Have you been skiing recently or whatever? And I was like, yes, Tony. Ha ha ha. Immediately I just felt like it was like I had to just let the fire rage on inside while outside was and that was, I think, what happened in that talk.
That's
so
what happened, yeah.
I had to be honest to Jenny. I was like, Jenny, I've never met you. Jenny Faulkner was on our panel with us.
You've met her before. You met her once before.
I'd met her, but I was like, I've never met you on good form. Because time I met her, we were really, really jet lagged as well. And I was a bit like, you're right. Yeah, okay. Okay, let's do this.
What we said, here's a bit of background knowledge for people listening, whoever was there. One of the things that Holly said to Jenny, and we also said to Rini and to Lena, was we are not in good form, Holly particularly. Could you all please talk lots?
And they did. Oh my God. They did. Those two panel talks, I really, really hope that you guys got a chance to go to see them. Unfortunately, a few of you asked about recording and I don't think that that was a thing.
No.
But, you know, we'll be there again next year, I'm sure. And that is a bit of what we try and do on the pod. We might not do it in person, being very, very silly with three guests at once, but you know, we'll definitely have plans to have all of those people on the pod again, because
absolutely, I definitely want to get Rini on again several times, actually, because the stuff that she was saying on that second talk, and I think that's worth raising, actually, one of the things that blew my mind, and I think blew a lot of minds in the audience, was that she was talking about, and I know this is going off at tangent, but you know, that's the pod, isn't it? But one of the things we were talking about, the talk was about menopause and nutrition, vaguely speaking, but we also wanted to just touch on like much more kind of generic menopausal kind of questions for like, because we know that loads of people that come to the running show, that's 50% of the audience, right? It's women. So it's something that you're either interested in because it's coming up, or you're interested because you're in it, or you're interested in because you've been through it or whatever. And Rini, you were asking her about HRT, and then there was a question from the audience, and it was from a woman who said that she was in her 70s and she said, it's too late for me now. What do you suggest for me? And Rini, you could hear a pin drop. She said, it's not too late. You can take it now.
Yeah.
Take it whenever. And she said, I suggest that when you start taking HRT at whatever age, 42, 50, 55, carry on taking it forever. And all of us just went, what the fuck? Because it was insane. I, along with, I think, probably quite a number of the audience were like, oh, I thought that I was going to take it until I was like 55, periods definitely stopped. And then as soon as I stopped taking it, I just assumed, a bit like, you know, collagen depletion or whatever, I just thought that my face would just go, and you are 60, and droop down by 4 inches, and that my bones would crumble, and that I just thought that that's what happened, that there was a finite amount of HRT that you were allowed to take, and then after that it was old age. But no, she said you need estrogen.
It was so good that, yeah, it was amazing that she asked that, and you're completely right. You could literally hear a pin drop. Everybody was, though I think actually also part of that was because I didn't give her the microphone back. I did fuck that up a little bit. I was roaming mic. I did my best.
That was one of my favourite things of the two talks, was that we had to be roaming mics. It made it feel very, I don't know, like...
I loved it.
It's great.
I felt like when, you know, in like, if you go and see something like a West End show and someone like The Lion King, and like maybe someone comes through the audience.
Oh, and you're desperately wanting them to be coming towards you, right?
I felt a bit like that. I'm so sorry that we didn't get a chance to answer everybody's questions. Oh my God, and we barely had time for questions on the talk on Saturday, the worst things that happen to you when you run, because we all got really overexcited and had some cracking tales.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it was great. It was so good. All of you Wall of Shamers, did you keep all of the Wall of Shame things?
Yes. Absolutely. Oh. Yeah, we could do a whole podcast on that.
Oh,
we
will do a whole podcast on that. Maybe that's going to be next week's episode, because, oh my goodness, you were all fantastic and everybody came through. We had, for those who weren't there, we had a big wall of shame, which sounds a bit negative, but oh, it was a place of joy all weekend, where people were writing down the most silly, embarrassing, whatever else, things that had happened to them on their runs, and letting go of any of that shame and sticking it on the board. And then we gave out some tiaras for those who had the most embarrassing.
It was
one.
Lovely. There was a woman that she couldn't stop writing. She wrote about four of them. She was like, oh, this has happened, and this has happened, and this has happened. Oh, I've not talked about the time I shat my pants. And, you know,
I almost feel like I shouldn't say this, because I don't want to add any fuel to the fire, but I spoke to a woman who was halfway through writing one, and then she went, oh, no, I can't actually write that one, because it'll out an illicit affair.
Oh my God. Oh, brilliant. Okay. Well, there are all sorts of different kinds of shame, isn't there? So, I'll tell you one thing that we need to talk about is the food, because there are names I need to mention. And I want to, first of all, big shout out to Alice, massive friend of the pod. And in fact, Alice, previous recipient of Wall of Shame tiara.
Yes.
From back on the Jenny
Pod Day. The original queen of cringe, or whatever we called it.
Yeah, exactly. With the panty liner story. Love her. We turned up at like 9:15 or something. And within seconds on the Saturday, within seconds of being there, there were a couple of coffees and a big bag of flapjacks just for us.
Yeah, pan of chocolat as well. She'd got us pan of chocolat.
That was it. It was pan of chocolat.
Honestly, our owl. As I like to call her.
Oh, it was amazing. And then I got a hug because I spotted her and it was like, oh, mate. So that was really lovely. And then obviously we need to speak about Dean.
Dean was a big highlight for me. He turned up with a bunch of brownies that truly resurrected the entire team.
Yes, it was. Quite biblically. I mean.
We loved. Dean was absolutely marvellous. Somebody did come and bring us a bag of flapjacks that was amazing.
Yes, I've mixed up with Alice, haven't I? Alice was pan au chocolat. So someone else bought the flapjacks. Who was the flapjack person?
Oh, please write in if you were the flapjack person, because that was another incredibly...
They were massive. There was loads.
Yeah, they were so big.
Dave even got a bit of that flapjack last night because there was some lemon drizzle left over. Huge, gorgeous, amazing.
Yeah, you were all fantastic. We had so many lovely treats and bits and hugs. It was just a joy to meet every single one of you. And again, I do extend my apologies that I had to duck out on the Sunday. And also the Sunday was so much more difficult to actually be at the stand. Like, we just had lots and lots going on. I feel like we were a bit more around on the Saturday, and I can only apologize if we didn't get a chance to meet you. However, you know, we're pretty slaggy. It's not like we're sort of hiding around. We're always about. So
we are. We are. Yeah. This is true. Now, I think we need to talk about a couple of highlights from the weekend, but one in specific, which we were talking about just before we started the pod. We did have a special visitor on the Saturday who I didn't recognize, but was cooing over in any case. And you vaguely recognized, but Sal, our publisher, was like, oh my God. Is that, and it was, wasn't it? Who was it?
Yeah. Thank you for making me say, because I've forgotten his second name.
No, I don't know what his second name is either.
It was Patrick from Sewing Bee.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably one of the most beautiful men I think I've ever met in real life.
Well, that was why I was like, because I haven't watched Sewing Bee in yonks. And so I was like, do I recognize him? Or is he just one of those people that's so attractive you think he's got to be on telly? And I thought maybe it was that. I was like, maybe he's just like, he's got a face. He's got a face of it for it. But then the more I was talking to him, we were talking about the Wall of Shame. And I was like, would you care to tell a story about shitting yourself? And then I was like, oh my God, it's him from Sewing Bee. Oh my God, I can't believe I just said that to him. That was a lovely chat. That was actually really interesting. He was wondering about because he was in a lovely jumper.
It was a lovely jumper. Yeah.
Yeah.
With a very lovely partner. I really liked it.
Yeah, who was also really recognize. Nice.
Oh, I don't recognize her. Do you?
Yeah, I'm going to really quickly look up the sewing, because I'm sure I've seen her in the same thing. There are going to be people who love Sewing Bee that are going to be like, you absolute wasters.
Yeah. I have never ever watched it.
You know what? That's going to mean we are one step away from Joe Lycett.
What? How? I know.
Because he's now in the most recent few seasons of Sewing Bee. He's the host.
Oh, fucking hell. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. We should have asked about Joe Lycett. Is he looking for, is he taking applications for
co-presenters?
New best pals. Yeah. Co-presenters.
Oh my god. So that was
a massive
highlight.
Of Joe Lycett in 2 weeks on this podcast.
Oh, is it? Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's becoming the Joe Lycett podcast. He's probably got his own one.
We'll get him on. Friend of the pod.
Yeah, friend of the pod. And what other, I was going to ask about other, did you have any other, I'll tell you what. And the other thing was that we had a bunch of people who had been listening very closely to some previous podcasts of ours where we might have suggested that we might be in the looking for race suggestions, which has kicked off massively on
that,
like,
was
Discord
what,
and email. And
yeah, that was what you guys wanted to talk to us about the most, that it was lovely. You guys were so amazing. So excited to tell us about races. I had somebody stop me in the loo to say, I've got a 50K race for Esther. You need to tell her about it. It was lovely. You all had really, really thought about it. I spoke to a lot of people about mm-hmm. the fact that I think I'm going to do the Dublin Marathon, which now feels like something that I can't take back. I feel like I've got almost like the equivalent of sort of beer fear about it, but sort of adrenaline fear, where mm-hmm. it was like in the moment, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And now I'm like, oh, why have I done that? But I do want to. I also spoke to several people who said really, really lovely things to me about doing a marathon. Claire, who we've met a few times, said, I think this was actually on Discord later, but she was like, if I can run one, you can definitely run one. And I spoke to a lovely girl who I met last year too, and I'm so sorry because I didn't get a name, even though we've met twice. So very, very rude of me now. Really getting beyond a joke at this point. She said, if you do one, I will do one, because I feel like I could do one together with you, sort of thing. And that made me be like, I had a real wobbly little lip where I was like, okay, maybe we can do this.
So nice.
And so many of you were so, so lush about it and made me feel very, very encouraged. When I got home and told Doug that I think I'd decided on the Dublin Marathon, he was over the bloody moon about it. He's signing up straight away, not to run, but to drink his weight in Guinness if he comes along.
Oh my God, amazing.
And you had lots of ultra suggestions, didn't you?
Loads of ultra suggestions, which before I get onto them, there was I'd forgotten that while you were, I think you'd gone to the loo, possibly to talk about my ultra with someone.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And while you were doing that, a very recognisable face came up to me, and it was, and I say very recognisable, but I've now completely forgotten their names. All I know is that they are Scarlett's parents. So Scarlett's mum and dad came up. So Scarlett was someone that came up with her dad. Last year. Anyway, they came last year.
Her dad, for context for pod listeners, Scarlett's dad is the man, I believe, who was running at 4 o'clock in the morning, and somebody was running away from him, absolutely terrified, and ended up huddling at the side of the road and rocking in the fetal position while he ran past him.
Oh, God. We met Scarlett and her dad last year in 23, whatever. And this year her mum came as well. I had big, big hugs with both of them. I didn't actually get to meet. She is just so lovely. I didn't get to meet Scarlett again, which I was really gutted about, because in the interim, what was wonderful was that she'd got married in December. And it felt so lovely because Scarlett's dad was like, oh, she got married. And I was like, do you have any pictures? And they're like, yes. I saw all these pictures of Scarlett in her wedding dress looking beautiful. And I was like, oh, anyway, that's just a running show, just an interim. This is how lovely it is at the running show, that I genuinely was tearing up at someone who I'd only met last year at the running show and was hopefully going to be seeing again. And anyway, it was so lovely. But yes, I had loads of ultra ideas. What was really lovely was just before we went to the running show, I had been tapped up on Instagram about, I wrote it down here, it was a particular one that was called, a company called Challenge Events. And I was tapped up by a lovely woman called Zoe. And she said, oh, what about this? This is near you. And I think, she's either from Portishead or I think there's a link there anyway. So she knew that she'd seen that I'd been running in Portishead, which is where my mother-in-law lives. There's this new race there's either an ultra or a trail marathon that's on the coast path going from Minehead, I think. That's the ultra and working its way upwards. Sorry?
Famous for its Butlins. There's a Butlins in Minehead.
Yeah.
All the news I know.
And isn't it Lorna Doone as well? No, that's Porlock, isn't it? Oh, that's near enough, isn't it? But yeah, that. So the ultra starts from there, and then there's a trail marathon that starts a bit further up and then finishes a bit further up, kind of thing. Anyway, I don't know exactly when it's going to be. It's in September.
And it's called the Somerset something or other, the Somerset Coast Challenge. And so they haven't
Somerset
finalized.
Somerset Coast Challenge.
I know.
We
right?
love a Somerset Coast Challenge.
So I am, this for me feels absolutely perfect. And what was really lovely was that she told me about it like, you know, a week or so before NRS. And she came up to me during NRS. She was there. And she said, oh, I don't know if you remember me. I sent you a little message on Instagram. And I said, oh my God, it's you. And, you know, and anyway, so, and I did tell her, and I think, I'm worried that she thinks I was just sort of saying the same thing to everybody that said, oh, you should do the Pennine Way, you should do, you know, Coast to Coast, or you should do da da da. But I genuinely was absolutely honest when I said to her, that's the one I want to do. And I'm not sure, actually, to be honest, if I want to do the ultra when I think about it. But because there is a marathon option, I do really, really, really want to do that.
Amazing.
So, yeah, I'm chuffed to bits. I'm chuffed to bits.
Yeah, had a bit of a breakthrough in your thinking there.
Yeah, well, I think because the more I thought about it, the more I thought about, you know, when I did Bath Beat and that was 26 miles, and the furthest I'd run before I did that the last time was 13 miles. I hadn't done anything further than that. And it was fine. It was fine. And I think I did it in like 6 hours or 6.5 hours or something, because there was a lot of elevation and it was, and a lot of cake. And
that's what a lot of people have been saying. And I think that was like, that was a big takeaway that I had that did make me a little bit nervous, because most of the people that I spoke to who we were talking about marathons with were like, totally get you. I think I'd also want to do a road race with lots of support, quite flat. I think we're sort of all looking for similar things.
Yeah.
Maybe based.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot of experiences doing halves and thinking, oh, okay, what was the best conditions that I could sort of imagine for halves that I've previously done, and how do I translate them to a marathon? But actually, I did speak to quite a lot of people who were saying, I just went straight to ultra. I don't bother with marathons. Like, ultras are the best because nobody's worrying about times. No one asks you how long it took you to finish. Like, there's no pressure. It doesn't. And I don't know, that did kind of make me have a bit of a wobble, but I don't know. I think
you should do both. I think you need to experience both, because I think, because it's taken like years of realization for me that you don't have to train as hard for a 26-mile ultra as you do for a 26-mile road marathon. I think that's a thing that, I mean, you can do. And if it probably really helps to your advantage if you're doing more hills, more trails, and you learn how to kind of train on the terrain and with the elevation and stuff like that. But you sort of needn't, because it's just such a different pace. It's a different experience. And like, when I finished that Bath Beat, I remember that I had to come home, have a shower, and get in the car and go and have dinner with some friends. And it was all doable and fine. I would never have done that. No.
Yeah, no. If you'd have done a London or something.
A London. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it was kind of, but I wouldn't not have both of those experiences. I would definitely have both of those experiences. And I am not ruling out city marathons, because actually the more I talked to people this weekend, the more I just thought, oh, actually I fancy doing that. And as soon as you started going Dublin, 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 I immediately got FOMO. And I was like, I want to do that, you know.
I know, and you can so like, come. It's definitely, you've earned your stripes to come and do what I've done multiple times for you, be a cheerleader, yeah. and then, you know, decide where we're going to have dinner afterwards or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So if that's what you want to do, then that's absolutely fine. I don't think anybody would have any other expectation. I think that you would fully have felt that you deserve to do that. But yeah, I have felt when you did Berlin, I had it a little bit, but it was mainly in New York that I New had York. real FOMO actually watching you cross the finish line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it whatever we do, it's going to be amazing. But it was really, really helpful to have you guys help us sort of hone in a little bit. Just before, if we do end up going off from talking about the National Running Show, maybe we'll just talk about it for the whole hour. But I did have a story that I just remembered about, because most people wanted to talk about races big time,
yeah.
and that was really, really nice. We didn't have much of that last year, and it felt like we all had something to talk about, and you had lots of suggestions for us this year, which was lovely. However, yeah. somebody called Hannah came up to me, and she said that she was like, oh, have you had a lot of people asking you about parkrun? And I did have a couple of people ask about parkrun and say, oh, yes. you know, I really think, you know, I just talked a bit more about my experience. And they were like, oh, that's probably why you didn't enjoy this. You should definitely come to this one or whatever, which was really helpful. Mm-hmm. But I did have one person who went, oh, I really agree with you. I think that my local one has become too competitive. And she was called Hannah. And it really made me laugh that she went for a parkrun with her dad. And he had a really similar experience where, like, he tried not to, it wasn't even the same as Ruby's experience, where she said that she had, like, been sort of told off for not being in the right order or whatever. He had actively from the start gone, right, I'll come with you, but I don't want a barcode. I don't really want to do the whole timing thing. I'll just come for a nice 5K with you.
Yeah.
And then got there and they were like, oh no, you need a barcode. And he had this whole sort of Barney with the organizer who was like, nah, you need a barcode, otherwise it's not fair on all the other people. We won't know where you've placed and they won't know, blah, 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 blah. And apparently went, it's not the Boston Marathon, love. Which I really enjoyed and I will be thinking about every time I go to a park run from now on. So shout out to Hannah's dad. I feel we are one in the same there and we have the same philosophy on that.
Yeah. I mean, I have run it. I have run it with a friend that didn't have a barcode and it's definitely not advised. And I think there is probably a little bit of a health and safety thing, as well as the fact that they're capturing all that data about, you know, where you come and what you do and stuff. And she just, when I was running with her, she just didn't run through the funnel. So right at the end, she just sort of just ran off and into the distance, and that was it.
You know? Yeah, even if but it is for health and safety, can they stop you running like that? Can they stop you running parallel to a park run?
I don't think they can.
As long as you just go, I'm not involved. Maybe I'll make a big t-shirt saying, I am not taking part in the positioning or in the timing of this park run. That's snappy. I'll make a little t-shirt that says that.
That'd be lovely, yeah. Yeah, you might have to go onto the back there slightly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it's perfectly possible to do, I think, but I'm now going to get shouted down by parkrun people. But I had a lot of people.
Did you? You had some parkrun people?
Yeah, lots of people just, I mean, mostly, well, no, in fact, entirely, all just saying, oh, you know, get Holly along to our park run or get Holly along to, you know, such and such a park run and, you know, trying to, because they all loved it. So it was like, yeah, all right. We'll do it.
Okay. So, okay. Well, I do appreciate all of the lovely park run people who want us and particularly me to enjoy it as much as they do. And it was very sweet that so many of you wanted to, I don't know, come up and say hello and give us your thoughts on it. I am listening and I'm learning and I'm growing.
She is.
What was your fave? Oh, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, I love the fact that I appear to have emerged from this completely unscathed. I don't know what it is that I've said that makes it sound as if it was you that had the only bee in your bonnet. But I really let rip a few episodes back. But no one's come for me. So
no.
I think you've just got one of those faces.
I have a bit. Like when I was in school, I always got told off for being noisy or whatever. And I was like, it wasn't me. It was Reese Phillips.
Fucking Reese.
Ugh. It was always Reese Phillips in math, and Mr. Owen always used to tell me off. And I remember actually him telling somebody else off once. And then if you're listening, actually, Mr. Owen, I'm really sorry. I'm going to say it. Fuck off. He was horrible to me. And
I remember him shouting at someone else once and then turning around and he was shouting at her and he was like, you really need to stop growing up. You got your GCSE in this, however long it is, that you need to pull your socks up, blah, blah, blah.
And then he turned around and he went, and you. I was like, not even involved in whatever was just going on there, but okay, fine. I'll take it. Ugh. I really hope he doesn't actually listen, and I just swore at him. But if he does, then yeah, he did. He did really upset me, and we did used to call him Mr. B. Owen for a long time because he wasn't very nice. So, and he was a bit stinky.
Well, all teachers have to suffer that indignity, don't they? So, I think that's absolutely
very
fine.
True.
I had. This is very tangential, but because you're talking about school teachers, I went on an Apple press trip last Wednesday to try out the Apple Ultra. And
isn't that people that you would like to tell to fuck off? Is that what the segue is?
No, I promise I'm not. I promise I'm not. well, maybe I kind of am. But I had to go race around a track, which obviously is not my comfort zone, wearing an Apple Ultra to find out all of the things that it can do, of which there are myriad things. And I was talking to a running coach, an Apple running coach, really nice guy, lives in, I think, LA or something. Clearly not from LA, accent-wise. So I was like, well, where are you from? And I had this lovely conversation with him. Anyway, it turns out he's from my neck of the woods, like literally my neck of the woods. He was like, oh, I'm from Sydenham, Southeast London. And I was like, so am I. Anyway, it turns out we went to the same secondary school. And so we had a lot of like, no way, no way kind of things. And then it just led into, right, which teachers did you absolutely loathe?
Should we slag off? Yeah.
Oh, it was great. Nice. It was so nice. Yeah. And I was really supposed to be paying attention to the metrics, and I was not paying attention to the metrics. I was just like, oh my God, that PE teacher who used to pick people up by their ears, what was his name? You know, that kind of thing.
Oh yeah. So we're talking next level stuff here. I'm complaining about Mr. Owen telling me that I need to grow up or whatever. And
yeah. In the 1980s, teachers didn't like children very much. It was definitely, this is not my chosen career. I'm sure there were some who did, but there were a number of teachers who were not great. But there were some amazing teachers. I did have amazing teachers. Shout out to Miss Lewis and Mr. Pike. That's who we were talking about. They were the best.
They were the best. They were considered the best by him as well.
Well, yeah, actually, and because I did mention Mr. Pike, maths teacher, who married Miss Lewis, who was my form tutor, who did drama.
And a power couple.
Mr. Pike, what was his first name? I've forgotten his first name. Miss Lewis was Ruth Lewis. He was, can't remember, but the first thing that this guy said to me last Wednesday was, oh, Mr. Pike, he was a runner. And I was like, yes, he was a runner. Yeah, he and my dad used to chat about running and the Labour Party. I think he was also a paid-up member of that as well. So, there's a lot of it going on in South East London.
Serious points in the Neiman family then, back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Running and like socialism. Amazing.
Yeah. I think maybe a times. Big reason why I had, I'm just realizing now as an adult, rather than just a petulant child, about what, because my mum was a teacher, and she still is, obviously not at my school anymore. And she was a teacher at the school that I went to secondary school, which is always a bit difficult. It's a bit, you know, it's a bit sort of slightly, you have to behave like a bit of a twat on purpose in order to sort of create a bit of distance between that. So you're like, no, I'm not a teacher. just my mum is kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that, so I think there was a bit of that and I was a bit annoying, but also I feel like Mr. Owen didn't really like the fact that I sort of metaphorically saw him with his trousers down a bit, because often the teachers would come round and maybe have drinks at our house. Yeah. And it was probably a bit awkward that then I'd be annoying and rude in his class and he'd be like, you know what, particularly you are fucking me off right now because I don't like this. I think maybe there was a bit of that.
That rings very, very true with some of my experiences. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, Mr. Owen, you can fuck off.
Yeah, he still can, absolutely.
Yeah.
Other things I'm remembering he said to me, sorry. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the therapy lesson. And so how are you this week? he said to me, stop playing the dumb blonde. Rude thing to say to someone.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't swing it today.
No, couldn't do that because of woke. Mm-mm. Then he said that I was getting too big for my boots.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe that's more fair.
Yeah. I can't remember what else he said, but he really did. He did upset me big time.
Oh, so it was much easier.
So innocent, and I do actually remember snapping back at him at that point, and I was like, "Do you want me to look like an axe murderer? Like I don't know what you're telling me off about. Whatever he was telling me about, I felt that I was innocent. So I was like, what do you want me to do? And he was like, stop being so innocent. And I was like, what the fuck? What do you want me to do? Be guilty? Because I'm going to get even more of a bollocking. Oh, anyway.
Yeah.
School. Bloody school.
School. I do. Yeah. And I do feel like, I mean, in a way, I think that because state school in the 80s, when corporal punishment had finally been like given the, you know, you're supposed to like not do that sort of thing anymore to kids in the 80s, but it was still kind of going on. So I think like that my experiences are less to do with kind of verbal back and forth and more to do with board rubbers hitting people on the head and people being lifted up by their ears and their pants. I remember at one point
their pants, even pants. More weird, like somehow that's extra inappropriate. Don't touch a child's pants, especially in the form of corporal punishment.
Yeah, I know. And it was it's the ad hoc corporal punishment, not even the go to the head teacher's office to get hit on the arse with a cane or anything, which then had been, I think that been gone. I think that was late 70s that went. But we still had the slipper at primary school, although I was never the recipient of it.
We just lost golden time.
Yeah, we did. But Dave, because Dave went to a private school in the 80s when his secondary school.
Oh, you could do whatever you like.
You could do whatever you liked. You could basically shoot
punch
them.
Children square in the jaw. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Good times.
Oh, I have realised in an absolutely terrible segue, there's nothing here. This is just...
Yeah, space. Know, go.
Go
yeah.
make yourself Next a one. Cup of tea.
We've done a three-point turn.
Talk about something completely different. Yeah.
Yeah, do it.
I realised that we shouted out a lot of lovely people that we met either for the first time or that we haven't spoken to in a long time. But the sort of core pod squad gang that seems to be slightly forming, that all went together to some degree, that I saw a whole load of them having dinner in Pizza Express. And I know that quite a few of them had come and kind of shared rooms together and stuff. Basically, the group that we went to Paris with last year that really felt like we kind of like, I don't know, formed a lovely connection and we still keep on in touch with them on Discord and they're often in our Zooms and things. You know, Beth, Debs, Emma, Alice. I don't want to name everybody because then I feel like I'm not naming everybody and that's sad. But it was so, so lovely to see all of those people because it really feels like a familiar face in a crowd now when you are feeling a bit overwhelmed. Like there was a whole gang of lovely people that, just thank you very much for always supporting us and for forming your own gang that's completely independent of us now, really.
And it did feel supportive, actually. And that does lead on because I wanted... Because what was really nice is they were sort of chatting about, oh, what do they do next? And lots of them aren't able to do the New York half that we're going to do in April, which is completely understandable. And but they're talking about other things.
You for that.
Yeah, we are completely. But that, you know, they're talking about other sort of goals that they might do as a little gang, which is really, really lovely. But it does mean that it might be worth us talking about the New York thing.
We did have a few people come up and ask us questions about it. I don't think that we can necessarily answer any of the practical questions. I think sports tours are the ones to speak to about.
Yes.
A bit like race entry and hotels or whatever. But for those of you who are coming along and you want to know what the vibe is going to be like, should we get a bit excited about it?
Well, I think we should get excited about it. And I think there are a couple of things. I think it's worth, I'm going to do one of those really crappy thing, like those kind of Instagram, oh, things are happening, things are going to go. For people that sign up. Big things coming. For people that sign up, there are a couple of additional connections that we've made over the last couple of weeks. We're going to add some benefits into that trip. So it's going to get even more exciting. And hopefully something that I'll be able to reveal in the next kind of week or so. So that's sort of one thing.
I don't know
which
what she's talking about right now. And I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay, right. There's going to be, I think we might be having a special guest with us. That's one thing.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that I think that we're going to be able to offer some support with some training. And so the training thing is something that I wanted to talk about first of all, and I'm not going to start revealing stuff. I'm hoping maybe the next pod episode I might be able to do that. But for the people that are doing it, this race is on the 26th of April. But this is also to you, Hol. So it's worth bearing in mind for people that signed up to this or people that have got a half marathon on the 26th of April. I've just been very, very quickly having a look at time scales, and a 12-week plan would really start from the, let's just have a check, 2nd of Feb.
Oh, fucking. Okay, no.
But.
Sorry, that was not a good response. I thought I had an extra week than that.
2nd of Feb.
And I love running and I want to do this. I'm sorry, everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I am feeling
overwhelmed by that a 12-week a 12-week training plan doesn't start with you running 11 miles at the weekend. You know that, right?
I know. It's so hard to remember that, but you really do just have to look at the week ahead, don't you?
It's easier said than done,
you just end up thinking, oh, here I am on the treadmill of moving towards this big old thing that feels absolutely out of my reach right now, and I'm such an avoider that I'm like, oh, I've got a bit of time, but really that is
a latent avoider. But I think that's worth bearing in mind as well. So two things. One is that first week, your longest run in that first week is half an hour, right?
Okay,
half an hour. Okay,
you can do that.
Fine, you can do that. The second thing to remember is how little training you did ahead of Paris.
Oh my God, it was an absolute nightmare and I was so anxious and it ended up being a great day.
There you go. See? I mean, and if you were to like strip out the anxiety and actually really honestly look at your training ahead of Paris, how many runs you did, when you did them, how long your longest run was, how frequently you were running during the week, like, you know, I'm not going to call you out. You just think in your head, right? What did I do? What did I actually do? And how many runs did I do? And when was my longest run? And you still bashed out a half marathon.
Yeah.
So,
and it was a good laugh. Like I genuinely enjoyed it.
You genuinely enjoyed it. So remember the techniques that you use for that half marathon, because if life gets in the way between now and April, those techniques are there for you and you can use them again.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Remember that.
Thank you. Sorry for my very childish response to having to start the training plan.
I knew it was coming.
I just thought I had an extra week. But this is good. I need the structure back in my life, to be honest, if we are talking about running a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Because it's just been really tough, hasn't it, for the last, like, it's the dead of winter. It's gross. Genuinely finding it quite difficult that I've been so used to being like this time last year, it was like we didn't have very much going on apart from the NRS. I think that probably would have been the only thing we really had going on for us in January. We weren't back in the office at all. Like, I could really just work my training around whatever I wanted to do and when I wanted to do it. And we are a bit more back in a routine, and I'm really enjoying it, like going into the office once a week. And we've got quite a bit more on, like you were saying, Astra, about going to London to see Apple and stuff. There's a bit more of that sort of press trippy stuff, or kind of busy stuff going on life-wise as well. I've got plenty of weekends at the moment that are just like absolutely packed up. Every weekend in January has been packed. So it does feel a little bit scary going back into a training plan, knowing like, I've got to try and work that around that. And what did I used to do when I worked in the office? When would I do my run and blah, blah, blah. And it's, it is sort of, I'm conscious. I'm not going to let those things sort of get in my head and start giving me the self-doubt that means I can't do it. But I'm consciously aware of the fact that it is going to take a little bit more organization and thinking than some training plans that I've been able to get away with over the sort of post-COVID years, where we were kind of gently warming back up to life again. Life is very much in full swing again, and things are very busy. It's going to be a really busy year. Stop whining about it. I've got to crack on, really. That's all I can say to myself at the moment.
Yeah, but with so many provisos. Provisos to that, you know, like you know how you've done enough half marathons to know what the optimum training would look like and what the just get by training looks like.
Yeah.
And we know that you can train for a half marathon on 2 runs a week, right? You know, you can do that.
Yeah.
So you can look at a training plan and just go, oh shit, you know, that's 3 runs. That's a lot of time. That's,
I would quite like to do 3 runs a week though. Yeah.
Yeah, but
you know, for those incredibly busy weeks, it's a good safety net to have, to be like, it's okay if I can't do that third one. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And you can, and you know the things that work for you. You know, like the things that are going to make you feel accountable. So, like running with a friend, running in a group, park run. Joking.
Yeah.
You can.
I know that I'm going to try and join up with Lex a little bit because she's been training for the Bath half, which means that she started about a month earlier because it's March. And so she's probably up to about 5-6 miles now for her long runs at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even a little bit more. I think that we've definitely done it before where she was training for a marathon and I was training for a half, where we would run our long runs together, and then if she had to do another 3 miles or something, then she would like go and get us somewhere for brunch while she finished it, or like she would run to my house so that we could do the rest of it together or something.
And
I'm sure we can do a bit more of that. We don't have to be an exact, so you know, we don't have to be sort of parallel with maybe I've inadvertently given some quite good advice there. If you do have a normal running buddy and then you're thinking, oh, I don't know if I can run with them because they're not training for the same thing as me, or like say they're a bit faster or you're a bit faster, then again, trying to work into your training how that could be a good run for you. Like Lex loves doing her easy miles with me because she is faster than me. Lex has run a 5k in like 23 minutes.
Oh my God.
I know, she's actually disgusting. She pretends not to be, but she is. I'm joking. But she is actually genuinely quite sporty. And I think she really enjoys being like, oh, I'll do my easy miles with holes. Whereas I might use her to do a bit more of a like, okay, I'm going to push myself a bit more on this run. Yeah.
That's true. That's true. And like the couple of times that I've run with Laura, I know she's been training for something much, much further than I have. And I think she's actually, we've done that twice. Actually, we've done it we've done both ways around where she's run to meet me and then run a bit further on afterwards.
Yeah.
And I've done the same thing where I've met her. I've done a 10K, met her, and then done a run and then run home again because I was doing something else. And yeah, and it fits. It fits absolutely fine. And it just gives you that little bit of, it gives you motivation to start, to get out there, to just, even if just a portion of your run is with someone else. Yeah, it's
100%. And then it allows you to do that thing of using it as a bit of a treat. Like a few people asked this over the weekend. Someone actually asked it in the panel that we did on Saturday about how to motivate yourself. And I once again said incredibly boringly that the only thing that I'm able to do at the moment is they've recently redone the Italian deli at the bottom of my road. And so I know if I finish there, I can get a really nice coffee and a really nice pastry or something. And honestly, sometimes that is the only thing that gets me out the door, is I'm like, well, I'd like a coffee, a treat one. Like, there's only one way I'm getting it. And once I'm out the door and I've got my clothes on, I might as well do 20 minutes of running before I go and get it. And and same with having a friend, where it's like, I suppose sometimes if you know that you want to meet that friend, or you know that, like, yeah, you want to go to brunch with them or something. Lex and I do that all the time, where we're like, oh, let's go for brunch together. But we'll make ourselves do a 5K first or something so that we can have the thing that we're really looking forward to. And yeah, that sometimes is the only thing that gets me out there in this.
It's such a good idea. It's such a good idea. And also, I think it's worth remembering that if you look at one of those training plans that we've got on womensrunning.co.uk, on the training plans there, if you go to half marathon, which is what we're looking at right now, the one that I was looking at for you was the one where you're training by time, not distance. So instead of thinking, I've got to do 5K, however long that takes you to run it, if you just think 30 minutes, but also, you don't need to think about those 30 minutes as being constantly running. And I know that we've talked about this loads and loads and loads, but it really doesn't. It's time on your feet, you know? Mm. So you can walk right. That first 30 minute run that's in there is a 30 minute movement session, Hol. So see it as, you could even look at your Couch to 5K app and pick any week in there and just think, you know, I'm going to just do that one. To That's ease myself true. In it and do 2 minutes on, 2 minutes off, whatever, or 1 minute on and 90 seconds, you know, whatever kind of combination of times, and just do that for half an hour. And, you know, it doesn't have to be 30 minutes of balls out running, does it? It just needs to be the time.
Okay. So that is, I think I might do that then, because I was thinking about doing a distance one again, but I think you're right that actually the time plans, they just work really nicely, don't they? And also just for planning, because then again, rather than being like, I've got to do, like before, if I've been on away for the weekend and been like, okay, I've got to do 10 miles, but I'm in the Isle of Wight and I don't know where I am. Whereas just saying to yourself, oh, I'm doing 2 hours, is actually so much easier on your...
So much easier. It's so much less competitive as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Even with your own, because I know now, or I'm beginning to accept that I'm slower than I was a few years ago. And so I would say to myself, right, I'm going to go and run. So like a couple of years ago, I'd say, right, I'm going to run my 3 mile route, which means I'll be back in half an hour. That's what I always have in my head. And I've suddenly realized, it's been a slow acceptance of this in the last kind of, 6 months or so, where if I run my usual sort of 5K, 3 mile route, that actually it's taking me more like 40 minutes door to door. But as long as I accept the time, I know what time, you know, I'm not going to upset myself when I come back. I just think, right, okay, it's just the time. I'm going to run for 40 minutes. It doesn't actually matter what distance it is by the time I get back. I mean, you know.
No, completely. You're right. Yeah. You're right. Mm. I suppose the only thing that I get worried about with that, maybe this is worth a whole pod, and maybe we need to get, like, I don't know, some sort of expert on here. But I sometimes worry about, like, obviously we've talked a bit with Couch to 5K before about the fact that the average time, it's either 36 or it might even be 39 minutes for a woman to run 5K.
It was something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah. And so if you, like, if you're running, if it's saying 30 minutes, obviously you are going to be bitterly disappointed if you're expecting to run 5K in that time and you don't. And it can maybe be setting you up for that disappointment a little bit. But I suppose that that's something that maybe we need to talk about this another time, because I think that's a whole thing, isn't it? Because that's the only thing I get worried about. It's just the demoralization of being like, oh, what if my longest long run is like 2 hours and I just about managed to do 10 miles and then I'm like, oh God, I've got so much still to do on the day.
Do you know what? I try and think about ultra runners, because I try and think about, you know, that thing we were talking about, it, I can't remember if that was on or off the podcast.
Oh, yeah, where it's like 40K might be the longest you do of a 100K training plan.
Yeah. It's absolutely mental. Mm-hmm. It's mental. But the things that are, you know, the training that you're going to be doing for the half marathon aren't just the long runs. It's everything else. It's the mental training. And I don't mean like, oh my God, it's mental. I mean, the mental training, you know, you're mentally preparing yourself for this thing. So that's like one big thing that you're doing without even kind of really thinking about it is quite subconscious that, but the mental preparation for being on your feet for that amount of time. But also it's the other stuff you're doing, and lots of it is being tired. And that's like, that's such a big part of the training, is going for a run 2 days after your last run and your legs and your body and your head feeling really, really tired, but doing it anyway. And that is such a huge part of the training.
So, I know. It's just like when you say it, I'm like 100% yeah. But for me, no.
Why do we do that? Why do we do that?
But no, you are right. And I think, yeah, maybe it would be good to have a bit of a training plan sesh we can have a chat about. But I also think that we should do as much of an entire episode as we can on you guys' Wall of Shame stories. Shout out once again to everybody who said hello to us on the weekend. It was so lovely. And I actually wanted to say, Esther, I feel like we haven't done this in ages, and I hope this isn't beggy of me, but I really love it when you guys leave us reviews, and I feel like we haven't asked for that for a while. I feel a bit sick asking. If you want to, haha, no worries if not. You're welcome to leave us a review. Give us a little wee rating, or say dog shit, worst thing I've ever listened to in my life. But at least it gives us a bit of an idea as to how you're feeling about the pod.
That's true. That's true. And the other way that you can give us an idea of how you're feeling about the pod is by emailing us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk, because we love hearing from you. You have no idea. We love it.
We love it. Absolute chef's kiss to your broadcasting skills then. That was just...
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very
much. Just fed straight into that. And I was like, oh, of course, yes.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The producer and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way, you won't miss the next episode. Do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.